Krishna was with them, Krishna's devotees were always with them. And these difficulties that the devotees at times go through is sometimes something like the father sometimes throws the baby up in the air. Playfully, does the father do that sometimes? Now when you see that the father is throwing the baby like that, then how does it look like? Doesn't he feel that now the baby is finished? But the father catches the baby. When the father throws the baby gets into anxiety. Right? But when the father catches the father laughs and the baby also starts laughing. So devotee's distress is something like that. Krishna puts a devotee in distress in order to rescue him from that distress and show how he takes care of his devotees. So, it is only the less intelligent people or uninformed people who think that when you become a devotee, you will suffer. There is a very common concept in India. If you become a devotee of Krishna, you will suffer. So, they don't understand that this so-called apparent suffering is not actually suffering. It is a part of enjoyment. The supreme enjoyment. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead performs his pastimes. And those pastimes have been recorded in our scriptures in the most glorious way. So Mahabharata actually is the history of India. This land is known as Bharatvarsha. Originally the entire planet was known as Bharatvarsha. Can somebody switch off this? Actually the entire land, entire earth planet used to be known as Bharatvarsha. But also Bharatvarsha is the land where dharma prevails. Vedic dharma, Sanatan dharma prevails. Now when in some land where people do not perform Sanatan dharma, that land doesn't remain Bharatvarsha anymore. It becomes something. So due to the influence of Kali Yuga, when Sanatan Dharma or Vedic culture is disappearing, the areas where the Vedic culture is disappearing, the areas where people are not following Vedic culture, that land becomes other than Bharatvarsha. Like there was up to Dwapar Yuga actually, the whole land was Bharat. The entire planet, at least the civilized part of the planet, was Bharatvarsha. But then it started to shrink with the influence of Kali. We know, even a few years back, a few hundred years back, the boundary of in Bharatvarsha stretched all the way up to Afghanistan. Afghanistan is originally known as the land of Gandhar. And that was Bharat. And on this side, the Java, Sumatra, Bali, all those countries were also part of Bharatvarsha. Even now we can see that the Vedic culture is still prevalent there. Although they have become separated from Bharatvarsha, but the culture is still there. Like in Indonesia, although they're Muslims, the royal family is Muslim, they perform drama of Ramayana. In Thailand, you see the temples with depicting the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. So in this way, it becomes quite apparent that even some couple of hundred years back, those lands were parts of India, Bharatvarsha. And what to speak of those countries? And then we are seeing that recently, how India became divided. Pakistan. And so it is becoming smaller and shrinking. And the interesting thing is, now this country is also not Bharatvarsha anymore. This country has become India. Not Bharat. This land has become India. Why? Because people stopped the Vedic culture. As they reject, as they give up Vedic culture, this land doesn't remain Bharatvarsha. But this Mahabharat is actually the history of that Bharat. This is our heritage. This, and not only our, not only the land people of India, this is the history of mankind. It's the entire mankind's history, actually. And this was recorded by Vasudev. As you all know, that Vasudev, seeing the advent of Kali, when the Kali Yuga appeared, Vasudev saw that the people in this age will be very, very disqualified for spiritual activities. Their lifespan will be short. They'll be very weak and lazy. And they'll be constantly afflicted by natural calamities. And they'll be very, very unfortunate people in this age. Therefore, Vasudev saw that these people in this age, people in this age of Kali, will not be able to practice Krishna Vedic culture. They will not be able to understand the teachings of the Vedas. Therefore, he wanted to simplify the Vedic wisdom. So he did that. He divided, one Veda was divided into four. And then he gave Upanishads and Purans. Then he gave Dharma Shastra. And for those who are not so philosophically inclined, or those who are not so sharp and intelligent, for them, he just gave Mahabharata. For Stri, Vaishya, and Dijabandhu. That means women are generally not very intelligent, and I mean, not that way, please don't take it. Philosophically, they are not so inclined. So that is for them, he actually gave the Mahabharata. Like for example, for children, we have to simplify the teachings. So for common people, he actually simplified this teaching in the form of Mahabharata. Stri, Vaishya, Dijabandhu. Women, Vaishyas, and Brahma Bandhus. That's not born in Brahmana families, but not actually Brahmana. He presented this Mahabharata. And in this way, systematically, he just gave it for our benefit. And it is such a vast subject that in order to copy it, Vasudev needed a scribe, someone to write it. He wanted to dictate, you tell the anecdotes, and somebody would transcribe, somebody would scribe it. So, who should do that? Ganesh was requested to do this. Ganesh did that job with a concept, with a condition that you won't be able to stop. You have to continuously tell me. You can't stop. Because, and consider Ganesh, how Ganesh was writing. Originally Ganesh wrote on, not on paper, but he wrote on palm leaves. Palm leaves. And he had a stack of palm leaves. And he has four hands. So he was taking one palm leaf, writing, and with other hand, he was dipping, taking a new palm leaf and dipping the pen in the ink and writing. So can you imagine how fast it was going? There was no stopping for changing the paper and dipping the thing in the ink also. Pen in the ink. It was just, he was just going continuously. That is his ability. So Vyasadeva agreed with a condition that fine, but you can't write something without understanding it. Therefore, in Mahabharata, we find sometimes some verses that are very difficult to figure out what it actually means. So this is Vyasadeva's trick. Vyasadeva's arrangement to trick Ganesh. And so Ganesh kept on thinking, scratching his head. So in the meantime, Vyasadeva went, took his bath, took his prasad, and then came back for the next session. So this is how Mahabharata was written. Mahabharata also has a long background, but I will start Mahabharata from the point where the eight Vasus, the demigods, have categories. Like there are 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras, 5 Maruts, 8 Vasus. They're demigods. So these demigods, Vasus, once they were traveling on their celestial chariots, flying through the sky, and when they were passing through the earth planet, Shoshi Shekhar, Mataji ki to khawar jal dao. She is coughing, so give her some water. So these Vasus, along with their wives, when they were flying through the space, they came across, they saw from above that there was an extremely beautiful cow. And the wife of one of the Vasus became attracted to that cow. And she wanted to have that cow. So she told her husband, Du, Vasu, that she wanted to have that cow. So the Vasus told her that no, this is the cow of sage Vasishtha. It's Vasishtha's cow. And this is Surabhi's daughter. Her name is Nandini. So don't desire that cow. It's Vasishtha's very, very favorite cow, and he's very fond of her. And this Nandini is a Surabhi. You know what is the quality of a Surabhi cow? Surabhi cow's quality is that Surabhi can supply anything. Just as Kalpavriksha can supply anything, Surabhi can supply anything. So you ask something to Surabhi, from Surabhi, Surabhi will supply. She will not only give milk, she can give anything. Just like in the planet there is a ocean called milk ocean. Where is that milk ocean? How is that milk ocean formed? The milk ocean is formed from the incessant supply of milk from Surabhi. Surabhis. So, just as the cows in Vrindavan are Surabhi, so there is one Surabhi cow in this planet, and she is Vasishtha's cow. Vasishtha has that cow. So, this Vasu's wife wanted to have that cow, but she said, although she was told that is Vasishtha's cow and they should not, she should not desire it, but she became so adamant, she kept on insisting. So sometimes, as due to the wife's nagging, the husband is forced to do something. So the Vasu had to do that. This Vasu do, and along with the other seven Vasus, stole the cow. Nandini. And when Surabhi came back, when Vasishtha came back, he found that Nandini was missing. So, Vasishtha wondered what is happening, and then finally he sat on his yoga meditation. In his meditation, he could see, in a meditation, these sages could see the past, present and future. They are Trikalabhya. So Vasishtha could see what happened. So when Vasishtha saw that these demigods, Vasus, have stolen the cow, Vasishtha just cursed them, that you are not fit to reside in the heavenly. Your activities, your mentalities are not befitting the heavenly planet. So he cursed that you fall down to the earth planet, Martaloka, the planet of death. And when the Vasus got to know that, they became very, very disturbed. They got very worried, very afraid, and they approached Vasishtha and begged him to forgive them. So Vasishtha told them that, look, when some words go out of my mouth, it's bound to come true. These persons were Baksiddhas. So this is also another quality of an exalted personality. Whatever he says becomes true. So because Vasishtha cursed them that you'll be born in the planet of death, which is this planet, Earth. Martaloka or Mrityuloka, this is the planet of death. Everyone is constantly dying. We all are dying here constantly. So he said that you have to take birth there. But if you will become delivered right after your birth, seven of you. But the one who stole the cow, he'll have to stay then on the earth planet for a long, long time. So that was the curse, that Du, who actually stole the cow, he'll have to stay there for a long time. So then they started to think, in a very sad state, they were wondering, oh, now we have to come to the earth planet, take birth as human beings. So terrible. And stay in the womb of a woman. Human woman. So for a demigod, this is a very frightening situation. The condition in the womb for a living entity is very, very painful. Very painful. That has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam in a very graphic way. So now, in the meantime, another thing happened. There was a great king called Mahabhisha. So Mahabhisha, after performing 1,000 horse sacrifices, was promoted to Satyaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. And he was there in the Satyaloka, and one day Ganga Devi came there and she actually came with the water to assist Brahma in his worship of the Lord. So when Brahma was sitting there surrounded by all his associates, the demigods, and at that time in a breeze Ganga's breast became exposed, the sari just got displaced and in the breeze, and when everyone present there looked down, but Mahavir just kept on shamelessly looking at her. And when Brahma noticed that, he told Mahavish, "You are not qualified to stay in the heavenly planet. So go down to the earth planet." And the condition was that since he desired Ganga, he would get Ganga as his wife. So Mahavish then was born in Chandravamsa as King Shantanu, the son of Pratip, another illustrious king. They also, in order to have a proper son, both husband and wife were performing austerities, severe austerities on the bank of the Ganges. And as a result of that, they got this very exalted personality as their son. So, Shantanu became the king and when Pratip retired to the forest. Those days in the Vedic culture, even the kings used to give up everything and go to the forest. They were not at all attached to the kingdom. They used to, although they led a life of inconceivable luxury, but they would give away everything and go to the forest. So Pratip retired to the forest, accepting Vanaprastha, and Shantanu became the king. And Shantanu was very fond of hunting. So one day when Shantanu was hunting in the forest on the bank of the Ganges, he saw an extremely beautiful woman. And just by seeing her, Shantanu became attracted to her. And he approached her and asked, "Who are you?" And he expressed his desire to marry her. So she agreed on one condition, that you should never question my actions and you will never prevent me from me doing something. So he was so attracted to her that he agreed on that condition. And then as a result, they got married, and then they had a son in the course of time. Like when a child is born, everyone becomes so happy. So the whole kingdom was bouncing with happiness, with joy. But what did the queen do? The queen of Shantanu took the newborn baby, walked up to the river, threw her in the river. So, now, Shantanu remembered the condition that he was not supposed to ask her anything. Ask her action, question her actions. Shantanu was just restrained himself, although it must have been extremely painful for him. So then, another son was born. That son also was thrown in the river right after the birth. In this way, 7 children were sacrificed in the river. And Shantanu couldn't question. Then when the eighth son was born, and she was taking the eighth son onto the river, Shantanu stopped. So why are you doing this? How can you act like this? Being a mother, you are killing your own child, killing your own children. Why are you doing that? So please spare this child. So then Ganga said, okay, since you want this child to survive, I will spare him. But I'll spare this child, but I'll leave you. Because that was the condition that you told me, that you'll never ask me, you'll never question me. So since this child is just a baby, I'll take him with me and I'll return him when he grows up. So this is how Bhishma was spared. Who is Bhishma? Who is this child? The eighth Vasu who was supposed to live on the planet for a long time. So this is how, when we read the Vedic scriptures, we get a broader picture that whatever is happening is not just a chance, not by chance they are happening. Whatever is happening is a result of some previous action. Now what we will see also in course of time, that what was a curse in the past became the benediction at the present. So, he was spared. His name was Devavrata. And Ganga took her to the heavenly planet. And Ganga actually disclosed her identity, that she was Ganga, the celestial personality. And she took the baby with her. And he was trained up in a most wonderful way. He was a Kshatriya, he was supposed to be a Kshatriya king. So he had to learn the martial art, the art of fighting, art of warfare, art of using weapons. And who is an expert in that respect? Parashuram, the military incarnation of the Lord. So Parashuram taught him the art of using weapons. And Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, taught him the Vedic scriptures. Such an illustrious person. And then Shantanu, after Ganga left, he was very morose and often he used to spend time just hunting in the forest. Then one day when he was hunting on the bank of the Ganges, he saw a very wonderful sight, very surprising sight, that the Ganga is not flowing. River became dry. And so he became curious to find out what happened. And then when he went to the source of that, he found that the movement of Ganga has been stopped by shooting of arrows. And one young boy was shooting arrows in such a way, so fast, in such speed, and in such an amazing way, that the river was stopped. So he was surprised. And then he saw Ganga coming out. Ganga came to him and told that this boy is your son, Devavrata. So I told you that I'll return him to you. So now that he has grown up, I have brought him to you. And Shantanu was very happy to have such a wonderful. And both the father and son were constantly together. They were just together all the time. Shantanu was so fond of him. And one day, Shantanu, while hunting, he detected some beautiful fragrance. Some beautiful fragrance was coming from somewhere. So he became curious and he came to that source and he found that there was an extremely beautiful woman. She was rowing the boat, taking the passengers across the river. So he approached her and told her that he wanted to marry her. So she disclosed her identity as the daughter of the fisherman king, and her name was Satyavati. And so Shantanu immediately went to the father and expressed his desire to marry his daughter. The father said, it's a great good fortune for me that the king of the entire planet wants to marry my daughter. But there is a condition. You see, the astrologers, after reading her horoscope, the astrologers predicted that her son would become the king. Therefore, I'll give her to you only on that condition that her son has to become the successor to the throne. So Shantanu said, look, I already have a son. And he already has been coronated as the crown prince. So then the fisherman king said, well, I'm sorry. I can't offer my daughter to you. So Shantanu went back home, went back to his palace, extremely heartbroken. And Bhishma, Devavrata at that time, he noticed that. And he asked his father, what happened? Shantanu replied that, look, my anxiety is that you are my only son. And Kshatriya's lives are unpredictable. If anything happens to you, then what will happen to a dynasty? So if you die in a battle, then what will happen to a dynasty? That is my anxiety. He didn't tell the whole story. And he just tried to avoid by saying this. But Shantanu could understand that that was not the only reason. There must have been some other deeper reason behind that. So he asked his chariot driver, what actually happened. So the chariot driver then told him what happened. That told the whole story, how he came across this beautiful girl, the daughter of the fisherman, and when he approached him, his condition was that he could marry her only on one condition, that her son has to become. And that's why your father had to give up that idea. But he's so obsessed. He has been so much afflicted due to his love for her that he is really feeling this pain. Then Devavrata told him, okay, take me to that place. To that fisherman. So the chariot driver took Devavrata to the fisherman king, and Devavrata asked him, so, you see, my father wanted to marry your daughter, so why don't you offer her to him? It's such an honor for you that the king of the planet wants to marry your daughter. And then the fisherman told him that I'll also be very happy to offer my daughter to him. But my only condition is that her son has to become the king. Because that is what her horoscope is saying, that her son will become a king. So Bhishma then told him, okay, if that is the case, then let her son become the king, and I am giving up my claim over the throne. So this fisherman king then thought for a while, and he says, very nice that you are sacrificing your claim over the throne. You are sacrificing the throne. But what about your children? There will be a big fight, because they'll see that you are the actual inheritor of the throne, being the eldest son. So your children will claim, and then her children's offsprings and yours offsprings will start to fight. Then Bhishma said, if that is your concern, then I take a vow that I will not get married. I take a vow of lifelong celibacy. So this was such a terrible vow that Bhishma took, that the demigods started to exclaim, saying, what a terrible vow, what a terrible vow. Saying that, they started to shower flowers. And that's why this word started to resound everywhere, Bhishma, Bhishma. Meaning, what a terrible. Because for a Kshatriya to take the vow of celibacy is extremely difficult. For a Brahmana to take a vow of celibacy is not difficult. Because by nature, they are withdrawn from material activities. But for a Kshatriya who is so involved in worldly affairs, live in palace surrounded by beautiful women, to take a vow of celibacy was a practically impossible thing for a Kshatriya. So that's why Bhishma's vow was so terrible. And so then Bhishma took Satyavati and offered her to his father. And this is how Satyavati got married to Shantanu. And in course of time, two sons were born. The elder one was Chitrangad, and the younger one was Vichitravirja. But when these two children were young, Shantanu died. So Bhishma had to take care of these children. He had to rear them up and guide them, and protect them, and take care of the kingdom. Chitrangad became the king, and he became so illustrious, he became so glorious that every year people started to sing his glory. Oh, Chitrangad is this, Chitrangad is that. So in this way, Chitrangad's glory started to spread everywhere. So now there was a Gandharva king. His name also was Chitrangad. So when he heard this glory of Chitrangad spreading all over, so he came and challenged Chitrangad. He said that, you are becoming very famous and I am also very famous. So our fame is going to conflict. So let there be one Chitrangad, not two Chitrangads. And saying that, he challenged. So Chitrangad immediately, Kshatriyas always accept a challenge to fight. Yuddhe cha apalayanam. In a battle, a Kshatriya never retreats. He accepts the challenge. Kshatriya never runs away. Apalayanam. Palayan means run away. Kshatriya never runs away from a battle. So together they went to Kurukshetra, the holy place. On the bank of Saraswati, they started to fight. Now both of them were such, one is a Gandharva, he's a celestial being. He's obviously much more elevated in his prowess than mortal of the earth. But Chitrangada fought with him, that their fight lasted, you know, for how long? For 3 years. They fought for 3 years in Kurukshetra. And then Chitrangada succumbed to the onslaught of his Gandharva enemy. Chitrangada died. When Chitrangada died, Vichitravirja became the king. And Bhishma was taking care. Now this is the another amazing aspect of destiny. As they say, man proposes, but God disposes. Anyway, I'll come to that point a little later. Then Vichitravirja became the king. And Bhishma considered that Vichitravirja needs to get married. And the news came that 3 daughters of the king of Kashi were extremely beautiful and extremely qualified. And the lineage of the dynasty of Kashi was also very exalted. So Bhishma considered that these 3 daughters are suitable match for Vichitravirja. And there was supposed to be a sayambara of these 3 daughters of Kashiraj who was going to accept their husbands choose their own husbands among the kings. So that was another Vedic custom, among another customs prevalent with the Kshatriya, that when a Kshatriya princess could decide to select her own husband. Then what the king would do? The king would invite all the kings and princes. And among them she would select her husband. So, the Sayambara assembly was organized. These 3 daughters were there. And when different kings were being introduced to the assembly with their glorious activities, at that time Bhishma just appeared on the scene. And he declared, "I am Devavrata Bhishma, son of Shantanu." So when the king saw Bhishma coming, they started to deride him. They started to laugh at him. He said, "Look, what happens to even a person who has taken the vow of celibacy? He has gone mad seeing the beauty of this princess." So, in this way, when they were deriding, Bhishma just appeared and he declared that he actually is claiming these 3 daughters of Kashiraj for his brother, his stepbrother, half-brother. And saying that, he pulled them onto the chariot and he challenged, "If anybody wants to stop me, they can do so." No one actually dared. Only one person came forward. That was Shalva. Shalva was already attracted to Amba, the eldest one. And so he challenged Bhishma to a fight. In no time, Bhishma killed his horses and broke his chariot. At that time, Bhishma could have killed Shalva, but he said, "Let go." And he let him go. And Bhishma took these 3 daughters of Kashiraj to Hastinapur. Now when he brought them to Hastinapur, the eldest daughter The names of these three girls were Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. And Amba told Bhishma that she already offered herself in her mind to Shalva. So she already selected Shalva as her husband. And so then Bhishma said, okay, why didn't you tell me earlier? And she said, look, I didn't get any chance. You just picked me up and took us away. And so he said, okay, now you go. Since you have accepted Shalva as your husband, you just go back to Shalva. So she went to Shalva, but Shalva immediately became furious at her. He said that, do you think a lion takes the remnants of somebody else? A lion kills his own prey. Lion doesn't eat an animal that has been killed by some other animal. So that is the mood of a Kshatriya. He said that now he is giving a charity, giving you in charity to me. He said, go back to him. He won you. So again, Amba came back to Bhishma and said, look, when you took me to the chariot, you held me by my hand. So when a man holds a woman by hand, that is like accepting her as his wife. So please accept, Shalva has rejected me, so you please accept. So Bhishma said, look, I have accepted the vow of lifelong celibacy. I cannot. So when she persuaded him and he was undaunted, so finally she left the palace and she went to Parashuram and she told her story to Parashuram that, look, this is what happened. Bhishma took me, although I offered myself to Shalva, and then when I went to Shalva, Shalva refused to take me, saying that I actually belong to Bhishma because he has taken me. And now Bhishma is refusing to accept me. And so he is your disciple. So why don't you please instruct him to marry me? So Parashuram said, okay. He is my very good disciple. So if I tell him, I'm sure he'll listen to me. So Parashuram came to Bhishma along with Amba and he told him that, Bhishma, you get married to her. Bhishma said, look, I have taken a vow of celibacy. I have taken a vow that I'll never get married. Parashuram said, it's alright. I'm your guru, I'm telling you. So guru's instruction prevails any such vow. And Bhishma said, nothing doing, I'm not getting married. Parashuram just insisted, no, you have to get married, I'm ordering it. And Bhishma responded by saying that if the guru doesn't know what to say and what not to say, what to do and not to do, that guru should be rejected. Guru rapya avaliptasya karja karjam ajanata. Karja karjam ajanata. If he doesn't know what to do and what not to do, utpata pratipannasya. In this way, if he becomes degraded, parityaga vidhiyate. He should be rejected. Parashuram became very furious. You dare to speak like this to me? And so he challenged him. Both of them started to fight. Terrible fight. And for a long time they fought, but nobody could defeat each other. And so, finally, Parashuram said, Bhishma, I am very pleased with you. I want to give you some benediction. I am so pleased with you that I want to give you some benediction. So Bhishma said, okay, then you stop fighting. So then they stopped fighting and Parashuram told Amba, see, I tried, but you can see right in front of your eyes, you saw what happened. So when that happened, then this Amba started to perform severe austerities in order to, now her desire is to kill Bhishma. She was, so it's another characteristic of a Kshatriya woman. They're lionesses. Like when they get angry, you better watch out. So, she wanted to kill Bhishma. And she performed severe austerities invoking Lord Shiva. So finally Lord Shiva came and asked, what happened? So Lord Shiva said, look, I can give you the weapons, but you are a woman. How are you going to kill me? She actually told Shiva that I am a woman. How can I stand in front of Bhishma? So Shiva said, okay, in your next life, you'll be first born as a woman and then your sex will change. And as a result of that, this Amba in her next life was born as Shikhandi, the son, and the first as daughter of King Drupad, who later on became a man, Shikhandi. And Shikhandi actually became the cause of Bhishma's death. So this is how we see another incident, another point that I forgot to mention earlier. When Shantanu heard about the vow that Bhishma took of lifelong celibacy, then Shantanu gave him the boon that he'll never die. Unless you want to. You will die only when you so desire. Otherwise, nobody will. Now see, the course of destiny. Vasishtha cursed him that for a long, long time you have to be in the earth. And now he is in the earth planet and his father is giving the boon that he will never die. So for a long, long time, this Vashu, Du, had to be on the earth. So, in the meantime, Vichitravirja got married to Ambika and Ambalika. And he became so attached to his wives that he was constantly spending his time with them. And it didn't matter, Bhishma was taking care of the royal affairs, so he could indulge into the luxury of associating with his wives. But as a result of that, he developed tuberculosis. And out of that he died. Now here is another stroke of destiny. This Dhivaraj was so concerned that his daughter's children should become the king. They became the kings. But for how long? They died. Now, Bhishma already took a vow that he will not get married. So, the dynasty is now coming to an end. There is no one besides Bhishma. And Bhishma already sacrificed his claim over the throne. And he already decided not to get married. And now, the whole dynasty has come to a situation without a king and without any successor to the throne. So Satyavati asked Bhishma, please get married. Bhishma said, look, I have taken a vow, I can't get married. Satyavati said, look, it's for my sake that you took the vow. So I am telling you. So that way your vow can be nullified. So, so everyone, huh, when you come to the class, please switch off your mobile phone or either switch off or put it in silent. It was announced at the beginning. Why you keep on? Next time if somebody's phone rings, I'll throw you out of the room. We have to be strict. Otherwise, people don't listen. I won't throw you out, you'll be forbidden from entering into the room. So better watch out. Everybody, huh? Whose phone is still on, not in silent mode? Or not switched off? Because it's a very undesirable interruption. So, Bhishma was asked by Satyavati that you please get married. Bhishma said, no, I can't. And Satyavati just kept on insisting. But Bhishma became very angry, and we can also see now Bhishma's life must have been so painful. Like here is such an illustrious son, such an illustrious personality, the son of Ganga and the king Shantanu, who was brought up in the heavenly planet. His mother Ganga was actually, Ganga prepared him as a successor to the throne. Ganga prepared him as a successor to the throne. But he couldn't become such a qualified person, but couldn't become a king. And now, it is for her sake that he had to take the vow. And now she is asking, please get married. So Bhishma became furious, very angry. He said that nothing doing. I have taken a vow and I'm going to stick to that. I'm not going to care for what you think. I don't care for what happens to the dynasty. I'm just going to stick to the truth. Then, another proposal was made to Bhishma. Okay, if you want to get married, it is a Vedic custom that the elder brother can procreate in the womb of the wife of a departed younger brother. In the womb of the widow of the young. Devarena sutatpatti. This is another custom that is accepted in the Vedic culture, which is forbidden in the age of Kali. So she proposed that also. That okay, you don't get married, but at least produce a child in the womb of your brother's wives. So Bhishma didn't accept that. Then Satyavati told about one incident that when she was young and crossing the passengers across the river, once Parashar Muni came there. And Parashar Muni became attracted to her and wanted her. And as a result of that, she had to surrender to him because such an exalted personality. And and as a result of their union, a child was born. So this is another thing that Satyavati told in broad daylight, how can we unite with you? So right on the middle of the river, Parashar Muni created an island. And he covered that island with mist, fog. And the child was born right there. And by Parashar Muni's mercy, her virginity remained intact. And so that son since he was born in the island, his name was Dvaipayan. Deep. The word comes from the island. Deep. Dvaipayan. One who is born in an island. So his name is that Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas. And right after his birth, he left. And he told his mother that whenever you need me, you can just remember me and I'll come to you. So Satyavati told Bhishma that I have another son and I got him in this way. So Bhishma then suggested, then why don't you invite him and let him procreate in the womb of Ambika and Ambalika. So then Satyavati called, remembered Vyas, and Vyas immediately came. And Vyasdev, when he heard what his mother wanted, he agreed. And he said, okay, fine, I'll conceive, I will procreate in the womb of your daughter-in-law. But the thing is that she has to become purified. For 1 year she should observe the austerities and other rituals to become pure. But Satyavati insisted, no, we let the child be conceived right away. So Vyas ultimately agreed. But the consequence was not right. She was not pure enough to receive Vyasdev. Amba was told that her elder brother-in-law was coming to procreate in her womb. And she was thinking that it probably would be Bhishma. But then when Vyasdev came, seeing her fierce form, like matted hair, and dark complexion, and radiant features due to his austerities, and eyes are burning red. So she became so afraid that she closed her eyes. So when Vyasdev came out of the room, Satyavati asked about how, will you get a son? Will she get a son? He said, yes, she'll get a son. He'll be extremely powerful. He'll have the strength of 10,000 elephants. And he'll be wise, but he'll be blind. Because she closed her eyes. So Satyavati insisted, please, a blind child cannot become the king. So you please procreate another child in the womb of Ambali. So Vyasdev agreed, and when he approached Ambalika, Ambalika didn't close her eyes, and she told her. Satyavati told her to be careful and what to expect. And she also told like what would happen to Ambika. And so she didn't close her eyes seeing this fierce form of Vyasdev, but she became pale. She lost the color out of fear. So after that, when Vyasdev came out, then Satyavati asked, and so he told that because she became pale out of fear, the child that will be born, he'll be pale. He'll be colorless. So this is how two sons were born of Ambika and Ambalika. Ambika's son was Dhritarashtra, who was blind from birth, and Ambalika's son was Pandu, whose complexion was pale. Pandu, the word Pandu means pale complexion. So she asked Vasudev to procreate another child. And after Ambika is ready, after the childbirth, she requested that he produces another child in her womb. But this time, Ambika arranged for one of her very beautiful maidservant to meet Vasudev. She didn't want to go herself. And as a result of that, Vidura was born. And Vasudev told Satyavati that this child will be very wise, very noble. But unfortunately, this child will not be born from your daughter-in-law, but will be born from the maidservant. And as a result of that, Vidura was born. So in this way, Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura was born. Dhritarashtra was blind, but he was very fond of Pandu. Like he was always depending upon, like although he didn't have his eyes, he used to see everything through Pandu's eyes. They were so close to each other, very fond of each other. And Pandu grew up to become a very valiant warrior and an illustrious king. Everywhere his fame was spreading. He brought all the rulers of the planet under his control. And then in course of time, he got married to Kunti. Kunti also is the daughter of Surasen and Vasudev's sister. So, Surasen's cousin, brother, was Kunti Bhoj. And Kunti Bhoj didn't have any children, so he actually made a commitment that his first child he will offer to Kunti Bhoj. So first child was a daughter. So according to his promise, he offered that child to King Kunti Bhoj. And Kunti Bhoj adopted her as his own daughter. And Kunti grew up in the house of Kunti Bhoj. Her actual name was Pritha. But because he was brought up by Kunti Bhoj, she got another name as Kunti. So, when Kunti grew up, she was an extremely beautiful princess. And many kings, she also had a Swayambara. Many kings assembled to win her. But in the assembly, Kunti saw Pandu is shining forth above everyone. So she just walked up to him and offered the garland. In this way, Kunti got married to Pandu. And Bhishma asked Pandu to get married to another girl that he arranged himself. That was Madri, the princess of Madradesh, Madras. And she also was another extremely beautiful girl. And so, Pandu started to spend his time with his wives, and he was very fond of hunting. Like this is one of the sports of the Kshatriyas. They like to hunt. Now, one day, when he was hunting in the forest, unfortunately, at that time, one rishi, one sage, and his wife assumed the form of a male and female deer, and when they were in union, Pandu actually shot the male deer. And then he assumed the form of the sage Rishi. And he cursed Pandu that just as you killed me, at the time of my union with my wife, when you unite with your wife, you will die. So receiving that curse, Pandu became very, very afflicted. And so he decided to leave the palace life and he decided to go to the forest just to stay away from any provocation. But Kunti and Madri, they also wanted to follow him to the forest. So they went to Badrik Ashram, and in the association of the saintly people, they started to spend their days. And then Pandu once told Kunti, it's so sad, so unfortunate that we don't have a child. So then Kunti told him about one incident, that when she was young, she was asked to take care of Durvasa Muni, who was famous for his hot temper. He was very, very ready to curse if anybody made any mistake. Or even if they didn't make any mistake, but if he was angry, he would curse. And just like he cursed Ambarish Maharaj. It was not a fault of Ambarish Maharaj, but he cursed and he got into trouble for that. For doing that. Anyway, so Durvasa is famous for his cursing habit. When he came to the palace of Kunti Bhoj, Kunti Bhoj appointed Kunti to take care of Durvasa. Seeing that her nature was so good, that she would be the only one who could properly take care of Durvasa. And she did take care of Durvasa so nicely that Durvasa was very pleased with her, and Durvasa gave her the boon that you can call any demigod at any time by chanting. So, actually Pandu was proposing that it is a custom that, like when Parashuram slaughtered all the Kshatriyas, then to maintain the line, their wives were made pregnant by the sages. So it is, the Brahmanas can in this way procreate children in the womb of Kshatriya women. So Pandu actually proposed that maybe you can approach one of the sages and conceive a child. First Kunti was very upset. He said, how can you speak like that? I have given myself to you and you only. I can't think of anybody else. But then when Pandu insisted and told her that, look, for the sake of our dynasty. So then Kunti told about this incident, that she had the power to call any of the demigods. So then Pandu asked, then why don't you call? So Kunti asked, whom should I ask? So they decided Dharmaraj, Jamraj, because the person who is the upholder of truth. So they wanted to have a child through him. And in this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj was born, the first child. Then Pandu said, get another son. But this time, get it from Indra. So Kunti complied. And then second son was from Vayu. And Pandu requested to have a third son. And this time, Indra was called and Arjun was born. So in this way, from Dharmaraj, Jamraj, Yudhishthir, from Vayu, Pavandev, Bhima, powerful. Pavan is extremely powerful. And Indradev, Arjun. So when Pandu asked Kunti to have another son, Kunti said, no. 3 times is enough. No more. But consideration was that Madhuri, so he told, why don't you teach the mantra to Madhuri? So Kunti taught the mantra to Madhuri. And as a result of that, Madhuri called the twin Ashwini Kumar, the twin demigods. And as a result of that, Nakul and Sahadev. So in this way, these five brothers, five Pandavas were born as a part of these demigods. So today I stop here. And this morning session, it's already past 1 o'clock. And we will resume the next session at 5. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to see that none of you fell asleep. Otherwise, Bhagavatam class, Nidra Devi, spreads her influence very nicely. In that respect also, there is one anecdote. The Kumbhakarna, when Ramchandra killed Kumbhakarna, who is to sleep for 6 months and stay awake for 1 day, then again fall asleep for 6 months. So, he was the best shelter for Nidra Devi. So when Kumbhakarna was killed, Nidra Devi approached Ramchandra and said, look, you killed him, now where should I go? My main shelter has been destroyed by you. Where should I go? So Ramchandra then told her that wherever there will be Bhagavat part, you can go there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.